Hi everyone, welcome to Empower, my power, your power, our power. On today's episode, we will be discussing women in tech. Have you ever wondered how women start and scale a business idea? Well, let me introduce you to a powerful entrepreneur who is here today to share tips and advice on her journey as a startup entrepreneur and corporate strategist. So, welcome, Elena Chow.
Thank you.
Newly married, but I don't know whether you're going with your married surname or
Chow
your...
In the process of changing.
Okay, in the process of changing. So, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so Elena is a marketing and capital markets professional with 20 years of experience. Over the past 15 years, Ms. Chow has primarily focused on working with mineral exploration and development companies with projects in Latin America and Africa. Between 2010 and 2020, Ms. Chow founded and operated a boutique marketing and investor relations agency in Toronto that serviced private and publicly traded companies across multiple sectors. She is currently based in Dubai, working as a VP in corporate strategy with Orca Gold Inc. And during COVID, she pivoted her career and founded a tech startup called Jot Technology Solutions Incorporated, a private Canadian company that's just launched a contract management app to help business professionals manage their contacts on the go. We all need it, trust me. So Elena is the chairman of Jot. So let's find out more about you, Elena Chow. Welcome once again.
Thank you for having me.
No, I hope I've like explained everything.
Yes,
well, I know
no,
there's so much more to you. So she's a dear friend. I met her last year or early this year. And I said, you have to do Empower Podcast. I mean, she epitomizes, you know, a powerful young woman who's done so much and come so far in life, you know, with hard work, determination, and so much passion that I can see.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Elena, tell us, how did your journey in the corporate sector begin?
By accident, actually. I came out of university with a finance and marketing degree.
Mm-hmm.
And out of university, got a job at an ad agency and one at an investment firm. And being 23 at the time, I chose to work at the ad agency.
Of course.
It was more fun. But quickly got really bored because I wanted to do more. I wanted to learn more about the nitty-gritties of running the business, the operations, the, you know, what makes a business work.
Right.
So I had just had my son,
mm-hmm.
and I was in between. I was working at a law firm doing marketing, and I got a call from a recruiter, I guess, and they asked me to go in for an interview for an investment firm, and I said, okay, let's go and check it out. And as the interview went on, they said, oh, where's your portfolio? And I said, oh, what are you talking about? They said, oh, well, we're hiring for a graphic designer. I was like, oh, well, I'm not one of those. Well, thank you very much for your time. I will be on my way. And so I went back to my job, and I got a call back from the recruiter saying, you know, you didn't get the job, but there was a gentleman in the interview who would like to call you back.
Right.
And I said, okay. So I went back there, and then they said, well, we're really interested in hiring you for investor relations for a gold exploration company.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I said, I don't know what that is.
How sweet.
And he goes, well, that's okay. Do you know how to do PR? And I was like, yeah, in my sleep. So he goes, okay, well, you'll learn the rest. That's it.
Right.
And so that was how I started. I said, okay, where do I sign? Let's go.
Yeah, and, you went for gold.
Yeah, exactly. Why not?
No, and they saw the potential in you, of course, at a very young age.
I mean, not quite sure what they saw, but they saw certainly some ambition. And what he said to me was, listen, you were in a room
mm-hmm.
full of men bombarding you with questions, and you were very calm
mm-hmm.
and you manage yourself properly, and that's very hard to come by in our industry, so we need you to help us with our communications and with our investors.
Yes, and especially 15 years ago, this was even less common to have women
yes.
who were calm and confident, and
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like,
so,
and we even had the, you know, the strength to say, you know, I have no idea what you're talking about, but let's go for it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think sometimes people have an issue being vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
and if you find comfort in that, in fact, you can make it a strength.
Yes, well said. Yeah. Nice. So over the years, you've specialized in stakeholder communications, mm-hmm. capital fundraising, corporate development, and corporate strategies. Mm-hmm. Which one do you personally enjoy the most?
I think I prefer corporate development, mm-hmm. Because you have to find avenues to make something, to scale something, mm-hmm. to find new ways of making a company bigger, better, more efficient. Right. And so for me, corporate development can be extremely creative, even though it sounds very finance-oriented. You have to be creative, and you have to get to know a lot of what other people are doing, get to know what their strengths and weaknesses are, and how you can marry your strengths and weaknesses and make something bigger and stronger together. So yeah, that's something I quite enjoy doing.
Yeah, it's like nurturing and seeing something grow in front of your eyes, you know, with all the details in mind. So as a parent, I mean, it's like you've grown with your child, and I think that thought process transmutes into your work as well. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because you know how it is to nurture, as you say, a parent.
Yeah, and you know, part of being a parent is you have to discover their potentials by understanding who they are, rather than trying to say, hey, this is what I need you to do because I want you to be such and such.
Yes.
I tend to take a more exploration role, explorative role, and I say, okay, well, what do you want to do?
Right.
And let's figure out how to make you the best at that, you know. Yeah.
Like be their friend more than a parent.
Oh, I'm a parent. I'm a parent. Okay. I am more the parent and the disciplinarian.
Okay. So, Alina, tell us more about your experience in the mining sector and your work experience in Africa and Latin America. It's very fascinating. It's also something that we don't talk about a lot, especially with women entrepreneurs.
Mining has brought me to some of the most interesting places in the world, places that people would not go for a vacation.
Right, of course.
It's brought me to the smallest towns of Brazil and villages, in fact, and you get to meet the most fascinating people and you get to understand different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So mining has also allowed me to see the benefits, because mining has a stigma as, oh, it's really bad for the environment, is this. And back in the days, it was. It was very bad for the environment. But today, at today's standard, with international standards being put on mining companies, in fact, we see a lot of benefits that people can bring jobs. They actually bring a lot of health and safety. And we build hospitals and schools in Latin America where we had built mines. So it's a very interesting space. In terms of women, we used to have a very specific role in mining, which was investor relations, marketing, and you didn't see a lot of technical women taking technical professions like engineering and geologists. But even now, that's changed over the last 15 years. I'm seeing a lot more women taking on roles as CEOs of mining companies, and that's amazing to see from my perspective. Yeah.
How lovely. And so how did you get into this? Like, what was your, I know you got into technology later, but are there a lot of women you see when you got into it? Like you said, now it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
But your first chance was because you were picked up at an interview. And then how did you, do you remember your memory, any fond memory of first clicking or liking something and then just getting into the field?
Do you know, at the very beginning, like I said, the women were more, you know, promotional. They were sitting behind the booth promoting the story, but more attracting attention to the story than anything else. And to be quite honest, I didn't feel that I was getting into a profession where women were respected. And then it became a choice, right? So I always say to the women, listen, you have to know more than the men to get into the room, and you have to know more. You have to be more confident. Without being, you know, because when you are confident, you can be misconstrued as being bitchy. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah,
am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, of course.
And
or arrogant, that's
and that's the, I think, frustrations and challenges that women face in the mining space, is that when you are confident, when you are aggressive, you are not ambitious, you mm-hmm. are bitchy. Mm-hmm. And that's not true. It's certainly not the case. And mm-hmm. but what I say to women is, at the beginning we were all in this role, and you make a choice of how you want to reinvent yourself and make a space for yourself mm-hmm. at the table. So play the card. Right. Play the card as the woman. Don't be afraid to say, hey, you know what, I want to come into the room. But once you're in there, you do need to know more than the next person. You need to keep calm, mm-hmm. and you need to hold your own, and you need to sustain. Mm. The sustainability is so important.
Absolutely.
Because what I've seen is some women who came into the industry are gone now because mm-hmm. they leaned too much on playing that card to get into the space, and playing too much on, oh, you know what, I'm just a fun girl. Well, you know, that only takes you so far,
yeah,
right?
Because then you have to earn the respect.
Exactly.
You know, so
yeah.
that comes with a lot of knowledge, like mm-hmm. you said, the credibility,
yeah.
the staying power, as you say.
And,
you know?
And what I've noticed is that the women who have stayed are now today taking on more of the senior roles and the CEO positions mm-hmm. in the mining space, which is nice to see.
Yeah, lovely. So it's nice to hear, you know, from it kind of is like a niche field, you know, mm. and a small bracket of women from across the world. And so now, okay, moving on to technology, because I know that's your passion. You're
yes.
an angel, you know, investor, and you said that you really do love technology on our chat earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So what made you start Jot Technology Solutions? And can you tell us what it's about?
Mm-hmm.
What motivated you to launch your own tech company?
Well, I was running my own investor relations and marketing agency in Toronto, and being a service industry, you can only address one story at a time. You are really close with one client, and we had up to 30 clients at our height. And even so, you're dealing with 30 clients and managing their contacts and their database and their communications
mm-hmm.
with them, for them. And I've always thought there must be a better way to help empower other people to do the same without kind of you doing it one client at a time.
Right.
So I used to go to probably about 20 conferences a year, road shows, and I would meet probably anywhere between 100 to 200 people at these events.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go home with a stack of business cards, thinking, okay, right, I got to scan them in, I got to put them into my database, I got to add all my notes.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, I don't even know who this person is, right?
Yeah, because you meet so many people and you're micromanaging everything.
Exactly. So I thought there must be a better way for me to capture those details and add quick notes that are not disruptive to my day-to-day
mm-hmm.
and as I'm on the go. And there really wasn't any other solution that I was happy with that
mm-hmm.
when I looked into it, other CRMs out there are either too expensive, too complicated, and impossible to use if you're on your phone,
mm-hmm.
right? So during COVID, it was funny, one day my team and I were having a conversation. We were like, maybe this is the time.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time that we have a little bit of downtime, and rather than, you know, watching all of the things on Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, we got done with that as well.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
We decided let's put our heads together and start fleshing out what that product looks like. And we really wanted to keep it simple, keep it easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately we created this product that allows people to capture contact details with each other. You can scan a QR code, you can give someone your Jot ID.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you have that information, I can say, okay, she lives in Mumbai. She stays at Armani Hotel when
yeah.
she comes to Dubai. So it's just kind of information starts. But I can also add action items for you. I can add tags,
mm.
Podcast,
right.
Influencer, whatever, maybe.
Yeah. Great.
And
so it's like a little bio of somebody.
It's a little bio of someone,
yes.
exactly. I can share it with my colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is over time, when I meet you again, I don't have to start from square one.
Right.
So that's honestly what it is. It's a very simple, easy to use system, and we have a really exciting feature that we're going to introduce, which I can't disclose at the moment, but it's going to be a game changer in terms of how people manage their contacts and keep their data fresh.
How lovely. We
yeah.
definitely do a shout out for you on our social media when that happens.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely downloading this app right away, right
yeah.
after this interview for sure, and everyone else check it out please as well. So tell me, how did you launch it, your tech startup, and how is it different from other tech companies?
I guess it's not different in for the most part, but we are different in that I think we are building it from experience of knowing the pain points rather than saying, okay, I think this is what's going to address your needs. These were my pain points over 20 years of going to conferences. These are my colleagues' pain points. And so we did a lot of research, actually. We did a lot of research. We talked to a lot of our potential power users, we call them. And we asked them what they needed in order to kind of flesh out that idea. And, you know, how we started was we not only did the research, we put together a financial model to see if it was even a feasible thing. What was in the competitive landscape? Is there a demand for it? So we are in the process of launching a test market campaign where we want to do a proof of concept. So that's the stage we're at. But it took 1 year for us to build the app, develop it, launch it, test it, all stuff. Yeah, so it's been a journey for learning process for me as well, because being someone who's only dabbled in investing in tech rather than, you know, jumping into the deep end of it, it's been interesting.
Yes, but it's like your new baby. I'm sure. Like, I can see the excitement and the glow on your face when you talk about it. You know, it's so much love.
I truly think it's a solution for people. And going back to IR and how we're going to give back to IR professionals is IR professionals are not usually given credit. When the stock price goes up, the credit goes to the management team.
Right.
When the stock price goes down, they're like, well, we don't need you. You know, I thought this product can really help some of these investor relations professionals bring value to the table on the management level and the executive level.
Of course.
And we really want to empower them to do that. And so we're like, here's a tool you can use. And I truly believe that it will help them. So that's why I'm so excited about it.
No, and I'm sure it's going to be a huge success. I mean, there's so much research involved. You know, doing your test, and you're checking out the market with the right people. So, of course, it's going to be... And it's something we all need, you know? I remember, like, you were telling me the other day when I was trying to save a number that you should use the app. You know, it's so much better. And then you remember. And especially when you travel, like you said, you went for conferences. But even if you're going for holidays or you're meeting people from all over the world or even in your own country, and then it just helps, you know? The recall value for even, like, the place or, you know, common interests, destinations, hotels, like you said, restaurants.
Well, I noticed so that much. Even when you shared a contact with me the other day, it was so-and-so at XYZ event.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And that's how people, that's how I've always saved contact.
Exactly. You either say, name the city or the place you met or something, or how will you remember?
So this is exactly the same, but put into a nicer interface.
Yeah, an organized way.
Interface where you can actually have reminders and things like that.
Exactly.
As well,
right? No, it's really nice. It sounds like something that we can all use, you know, and that's amazing. So tell me, we spoke about women in the mining, you know, sector. What about women? What are your thoughts of women in the tech sector? It is considered to be very male-dominated and intense. You already mentioned that, of course, you know, it's the number of women getting involved in all fields are increasing. But is there a change in any other trends where women are concerned in these days, you feel, where technology is concerned?
I think there are an increasing amount of women in any career across all industries, including tech. And some of the conferences I go to in tech, there are lots of women, and they are extremely intelligent, and they, you know, they're really good at what they do. What I find is there's still a small amount of women CEOs in the space, and even that's changing. But I think, hopefully, you know, in the near future, and I think especially in the next, for the next generation, we're going to see more and more women take on that executive position.
More power to them. Empower. So also tell me, what do you think are the best and hardest parts of managing your own business, especially for a woman or even otherwise? And what are some of the biggest challenges women might face and brace, you know, how do they brace themselves up against, you know, challenges in the tech sector?
I think one of the biggest challenge is balance,
mm-hmm.
is balance, because as women, we are expected
mm-hmm.
to be a mother, to be a friend, to be a wife, and also to be a boss, right?
Mm-hmm.
So balancing all those roles in your life is hard, because as a man, you're allowed to say, you know what, I'm providing for the family, and I'm a good father because I provide for my family.
Right.
But for women, it's a little bit harder. For
mm-hmm.
women, you have to be there
mm-hmm.
to be considered a good mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's challenging. How
mm-hmm.
do you stretch yourself between, I always call my work kids and my, you know, my child at home.
Right.
And how do you balance that life? And even, you know, for yourself, how do you balance, how do you find time for yourself? So
mm-hmm.
that's challenging.
And breaking, I think, the stereotypical molds of, like
mm-hmm.
you said, expectations from a woman.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people are, but it's sometimes I feel that men, like you said, if they're the providers, or if he's a CEO of a company or an owner or working for somebody, well, that's what he does.
Yeah.
But you can be doing the same, but then you're also expected sometimes
exactly.
to make sure the house is running, there's food, there's kids
yeah.
are sorted, the school is sorted, you know, the
yeah.
little things like that too,
for
which
sure.
you don't expect the man to do. So I think it's, that, like you said, is the right thing, that filling up the shoes and multiple
yeah.
roles
yeah.
to the best of your ability, let's
yeah.
put it that
and
way.
You can, and that's kind of my advice when my other friends say, oh, you know, I'm losing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you can't do it all. And the way to, and being able to balance is actually such an easier said than done.
Yeah.
Right? Because you just can't.
Yeah.
And sometimes, when you're balancing, something is always being compromised.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you need to accept and you
right.
need to be okay with.
Yes.
Because if you give yourself too hard of a time and saying, well, I'm not a good mom because I'm not there 24/7. Well, if you are there 24/7, you wouldn't be able to run your business.
Absolutely.
You'd
yeah,
be
you
housewife.
Have to choose.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, you have to prioritize
yeah.
and choose and balance it,
mm-hmm.
you know, as to the best of your ability, I guess,
exactly.
you know, capability.
Exactly.
So tell me, you're based in the Middle East currently, working as a VP in corporate strategy, whilst also managing your own business, as
mm-hmm.
we've discussed. How do you manage a private Canadian tech startup from Dubai? Is it easy, and what are the challenges you face?
Time zone. Time
yes,
zone
I remember
challenges.
You saying that.
So my day starts around, I work from 9 to 5
mm-hmm.
Dubai time, and then from about 5 o'clock when Toronto wakes up, then I start working Toronto time.
Oh, okay.
What makes it possible is my team.
Mm-hmm.
I have an amazing team. I am a director of the company, a chairman of the company, but we have an amazing CEO who we
mm-hmm.
just brought on. He's a lawyer. He's extremely smart, and he has a way of motivating the team. And do you know what? COVID has made it. There are a lot of bad things about COVID, right?
The pros and cons,
but
yeah.
Some of the pros is it's allowed us to think of a different dynamic
mm-hmm.
and what allows us to build a company differently.
Right.
And we've built our company entirely online, and we've been able to launch this product working digitally, and thanks to, you know, the Microsoft Teams and Zoom calls and all these
yes,
other
of course, we've all survived on that.
Yeah.
I mean, my podcast was born in the pandemic, you
yeah.
know, and just trying to do everything online. My team that handles it, Social Edition, is from the UK. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
the whole world has become closer and so much more efficient, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, and I feel like that's something that, you know, when we're in hard times, we can find opportunities to make the world better or make ourselves better.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, speaking, that sounded actually really nice and inspiring, and I was actually going to ask you what inspires you on a daily basis.
What inspires me? people.
Right.
People. When you go and you know, you see people in adversities and they still have a smile on their face
mm-hmm.
and you learn to be grateful. You learn to be, you know, you learn not to complain.
Right, of course. Yeah.
And they inspire me. And a lot of people look to really successful people and people with lots of money. But for me, it's someone who is in adversity, and when we go, you know, especially being in mining and going to places like Africa and Latin America, you see these people who have nothing, some of them,
mm-hmm.
yet they're so happy and they take care of their families. And for me, that's inspiring, because if they can be happy doing that and being in that situation and circumstance, then what should I do with all of the resources that I have to me? So I need to not take this for granted and, you know, go forward and go harder.
Nice. So tell me, what do you have lined for the upcoming years for your career, for your startup, or anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah. Well, in terms of my career, I would really like to see Jot move forward. I would like to see the adoption increase in using Jot. I would love to meet other investors or other entrepreneurs who are doing new things, because as an angel investor, and that's something that I always look for, is what are the new ideas, what are some of the innovations out there, because I'm always trying to learn more. So what I'd like to see is getting more into that role, is getting more involved in investing in other people. But yeah, also supporting my team in growing. So really trying to sink my teeth into tech a little bit deeper than I've kind of touched on it when I was in
mine. But I was very impressed, as you mentioned earlier, we were at the Cartier event the other day for Women's Initiative, and I love the fact that you get inspired, or you get connected to all sorts of people. There was this speaker from a company and looking for funding, and you feel like, of course, it's a business angle, but you also feel like you're contributing to society, you're giving back in some way, supporting women entrepreneurs, or anything good that is coming out there for children, for adults, for daily use. You know, there is so much you can do. Like you said, you know, we're blessed with a lot. And why not? How do we put it back into society or into life to get some good, not only for yourselves? You know, there's job satisfaction, there's money, but there's also like this cycle I feel in life where, you know, people talk about going green for the environment or sustainability or water or, but just basic things, and even like education, healthcare. There's so much, you know, and I like how technology is a part of everything now.
It is.
So, you know, you can do so much from sorting out your daily calendar to bigger things, you know. It's just amazing.
It's certainly something that allows us to make things more efficient, right? And it all starts with addressing a challenge. All businesses start from that, no matter if it's a corner store, because there's no other store there at the moment, than somebody who's building a software that's going to, you know, consolidate all your healthcare records. And so there are lots of different ways, and people that we meet, like, it all comes from it's all about kind of making it happen rather than just the idea. And how do you
fulfill a need somehow, right?
Once you fulfill the need, how do you operate it, how do you sustain it, how do you scale it, you know? That's what we're at.
That's why we have wonderful people like you, Alina, because I know that I need something, but maybe I may not know how to get there. I can voice it out, but how do you, and then we need you're the action, you know, you're the people who put things in action. So we need wonderful entrepreneurs like you to make things happen, you know. So tell me, what now, for a simple, fun question. I mean, we're almost done with the lovely chat with you, and I can go on and on, but, you know, we have time restrictions. So what do you enjoy doing during your downtime, and any hobbies that you, you know, that help you relax and unwind with everything that's going on in your fantastic life?
I love, I'm learning to play golf.
Oh, nice.
Whenever I have time. I do love to work out. I think that's a really good stress reliever for me. I love a good spa day, like anybody
else. Who doesn't? Yes.
Right? So, and for me, it's spending time with friends. That's probably, if you can call that a hobby, that's what.
Yeah, or a stress buster for sure.
Like giving my girlfriends a shout is always nice.
Lovely. And well, we have a lot of fun Q&A coming up, so now we're going to give away everything here. We're going to do a separate video for that.
Okay.
And so, you know, that brings us to the end of a very insightful, interesting, informative chat with you, Alina. And the beautiful Alina Chow, everyone. And thank you, Alina, for sharing your motivating journey with us at Empower. And thank you, my lovely listeners, for tuning in. all the viewers. We have all this and so much more. So don't forget to catch up on all the interesting content on all our social media, my Instagram and Facebook, Meenakshi Kuwadekar. And feel free to email me anytime on empowerbymeenakshi@gmail.com. And until then, as always, keep smiling, keep shining, have a safe and fantastic week, everyone, and don't forget to own it.